today, so that in 4 or 5 years we don't have that same issue. All right, so we kind of want to learn from that.
Yeah. Okay. And do you feel like you've got I'm probably sort of asking a slightly odd question here, but do you feel like you've got a committed and loyal customer base in your
users? Yeah, I mean, in terms of like the active user numbers that we see, out of the 25 million registered users, I think it index is very, very high, especially for a social network. What I think we are focusing on right now is that there's definitely some people who lapsed and who have not used the app in a while. Maybe they used it a year ago and they still remember us as the Mayorship and Badges app. But every time we have somebody come back in, they usually say, wait a second, you've added a lot of functionality. Maybe I'm going to start using this now more often again.
Yes.
Right? We just had two articles, one in All Things D, and another one, I don't know which blog or which website, but just this week. And Lauren from All Things D was describing exactly that. And this wasn't like a story we pitched to her. She came to us and she's like, 5 weeks ago, I started using you for the first time in like a year. And I've been using it every day ever since. And that's exactly the kind of story that we want to kind of promote and communicate to a lot of our users.
Have you ever actually surveyed your users to ask them why they use
it? Yeah, we do not necessarily surveys, but we do frequent. We like invite people to roundtables and have people play around with apps and so forth. We do a lot of beta, cohort testing. So some people see the app in a different way than others.
Yeah.
And then we can see what works better.
Is that regional, or is that predominantly done here in the US?
No, it can be totally, sometimes we kind of slice and dice people by, so for example, we actually did a survey recently that we sent out to people who signed up maybe 3 months ago, they have been active for the last 3 months, and they are only in Asia, only in Europe, right? So we definitely 50% of our traffic is coming from outside the US. It's very important for us to make sure that the app doesn't only work in the US. So we have 12 languages now. We have a local team on the ground in Europe now with 3 people in London. And so that's actually one of the other big things that we're doing is, because we already have so much traffic from outside the US, we want to make sure that there is
accuracy
that we're actually building out the platform also and the product for other non-US countries.
Mm. What's the?
Probably interesting angle for non-Americans. When I joined the company very early on, I was the first non-US person on the team, and we're still very New York centric. We're very US centric, but like slowly we're chipping away at that. And we're trying to be ahead of the curve, because Twitter, it took them very long before they put their first people internationally.
Yeah.
Again, like not something, they did what they did, but we want to kind of learn from that. Right?
What's the most active country outside of USA?
High growth countries right now for us are places like Brazil is really, really strong. Turkey is very strong. Japan is very strong. Indonesia. But I don't know, there's other pockets. Italy is very strong.
It's not fair. Australia never comes up as strong because we've got a really tiny population.
Yeah, but we've done, Australia has been strong for a while, but, they kind of grew very early on, and we have a bunch of partnerships over there with carriers and OEMs.
And ultimately, it's only 22 million people, so
yeah, it's a smaller
country. You can only get so big anyway, so what about, we were talking earlier about being in the Valley and the fact that we were using that as a means of actually sourcing decent engineering and other talent in the area. Are you seeing a change in Silicon Valley since you've been here in terms of the makeup of the community and the makeup of investment in the area?
No, I've been here now for 7 years, and I think one of the changes is we're not the only tech hub in the country anymore, right? I mean, I think there were always kind of little pockets, but you can have a very successful startup now coming out of Austin or Boston or New York, certainly, right? New York's kind of the number two now after the Valley. So that, kind of that regional diversity is definitely there. I feel like I'm seeing a lot more Europeans coming in, not necessarily just people like yourself, like journalists, but also, startups who are looking for funding over here. Maybe the money is not as easy to get in Europe. There's not as many VCs around. So I see a lot of Europeans coming in, and then they usually reach out to other Europeans and say, hey, who do you know? And, there's a bit of networking going on. I think it's always been hard to, find really good talent, but I feel like right now also it's, particularly hard, right? Like, there's so much innovation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kind of going for the same type of kind of high-end or, really high-quality engineers and designers and product people. But other than that,